Okay, well, here we are, December the 11th, and I'm thinking, again, I do this every year, how easily Christmas sneaks up on us. And many of us these next couple of weeks, if not already, are going to be going to all kinds of Christmas parties and dinner with family and friends. And here we are, we're having our annual Christmas dinner here at the church. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. And, you know, I heard a little song while I was at Disney last weekend, where Christmas is certainly supposed to be the most wonderful what time of the year, and yet we know, because it is well documented, that people struggle. They struggle more with disappointment and with depression during the holidays than at any other time of the year. In fact, a recent survey would indicate that as many as 45% of Americans dread the Christmas season, because it's just another reminder of an absent loved one, a lost job, a painful divorce, some unrealized dream, as just one more year passes by. So the question is, you know, if that's perhaps you today, what do we do about that? How do we address that? And that's really what I want to talk about this morning, because I think you can sum up the answer in one word, and that is the word hope. Hope is this essential ingredient for a truly happy life. Now notice how I said that, a truly happy life. That hope is an essential ingredient to experience that, the kind of life that Jesus wants for us. And as we talk about hope, you're going to hear me say that word several times today. As we think about hope and talk about hope, we're talking about a confidence. We're talking about something that is in my heart, that is certain of something that is out there in the future. I don't yet have it, but hope means that I'm certain that someday I'm going to have that. So hope is that virtue or that emotion that God has given to us to be confident that my future is going to be good. Now, hope doesn't hide the fact that my future may not be easy, that my future may have some hard things ahead of me. But hope would even still say, even though my future, there's going to be hard things about my future, hope still says it's still going to be good, and God's going to be there to bring good things out of it. So hope is a very powerful force. I want us to read a verse in Proverbs. I think it's Proverbs chapter, what is it, Monica? 13. Okay. 13:12, right up here. Let's read this together really loud. Ready, go. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So basically what the writer of Proverbs is saying here is that hope is something that we need. You know, if hope just keeps getting kind of pushed to the side, it's going to make my heart sick, okay? But this longing that we have, that hope is that longing, when it's fulfilled, wow, that's the tree of life. So we need hope. We need hope. Hope's a powerful force in the human heart, and yet it can so quickly dissipate, particularly during the Christmas season. So again, remember this, that as we talk about hope, I'm not talking about a feeling of optimism where you're just trying to kind of pump yourself up about the future, because for some of us, things aren't okay right now. I mean, that's just the reality. That even right now, this morning, for some of us, things are not okay. So to try to make it any different than the reality, than what the present really is, that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? And that's not what we're really talking about with hope. Here's what I believe. I really believe this, that true and lasting hope is available. This confidence that my future can be good. That confidence is available to every single one of us. And it's a result of a personal surrender of your life over to Jesus Christ. Now, there we've brought Jesus into it. So at Christmas time, what do we remember about Jesus? Well, we remember when he was born. But let me tell you something. Jesus was so much more than a baby born 2,000 years ago to a poor family on the outskirts of nowhere. There's something very different and unique about the Christ child. And when you get your life around that, that when we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about someone very different. We're talking about a child that was very unique. And when you get yourself around that, and when you start discovering, well, what is it that makes him different? And when you start tapping into that, that's when your hope is going to go off the chart, because you know it's based on something that's certain. All right, 700 years ago, we're going to read a verse, 700 years before Christ was born. So 2,000 years ago he was born, roughly. So this was 700 years before that, 2,700 years ago, a long time, a prophet declared the qualities of a coming Savior. And the Savior would be the Messiah. The Savior would be the one that God sent to accomplish what humanity so desperately needed. So I want us to read this scripture from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and we're going to look at the qualities that are identified here. Let's read this together really loud. Let's read it together. Ready, go. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All right, so what's happening here is these are four qualities at the end: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this is describing the coming Savior, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus was a child that was born 2,000 years ago. He was a son given to us by the Father himself. And when you put your faith in him, when you give your life over to him and surrender the control of your life to him, believing these qualities about him, that's when you're going to be surprised by the power of this hope, this confidence that your future can be good. So we're going to look at all four of those qualities, starting with Wonderful Counselor, and we're just going to go down that list. All right? So let's look first of all at that title, Wonderful Counselor, and write this in, if you don't mind writing some stuff in. Jesus, as my Wonderful Counselor, is revealing God's love for me. So as a Wonderful Counselor, what Jesus is doing is he's revealing just how much God loves me. Now, if Jesus is a Wonderful Counselor, really what that title means is Jesus has no need for counselors. That's one thing that makes him different. He has no need to be advised and no need to be counseled. Why? Because he's God. And as God, he's omniscient. And omniscience means that he knows what? All things. He knows everything. The Bible says that in Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we know that whatever Jesus says is true. This title, Wonderful Counselor, simply means that the word wonder comes from the Hebrew word that simply means the impact or the power that's created by a supernatural act of God. Well, let me just be really clear. There has been no greater supernatural act of God than when he sent his son 2,000 years ago to be born as a human being, to live the perfect life that you and I could not live, that only he could live, to then go to the cross and pay the price for our sin on the cross, and then 3 days later be raised from the dead. That is the greatest supernatural act of God ever. And it's also the greatest demonstration of the love of God for us. Paul says in Romans 5:8, he says that God demonstrates his love. He shows us how much he loves in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son, that whoever would put their faith in him and cling to him would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. And then it goes on to say, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn us, but rather through him that the world would be saved. That's the heart of God. That's the love of God. He wants to save us. So Jesus Christ came and He died to bring you back to God. But the bottom line here, folks, is that God loves you. And some of you today need to hear that. That's how you today need to connect with what's going on here. You need to know that God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to pay the price for your sin. And that's why Paul says, I pray that you'll grasp just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Because that's something that we struggle with. We struggle with how loved am I? Does someone love me? And the gospel says, yes, Jesus loves you, that God loves you. So when you believe that, when you believe in the enormity of God's love for you, the intensity of how intense God wants you to be a part of Him and Him to be a part of you, when you get that, and out of that, how He wants to counsel you with perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge and guide you and move your life toward a good future. When all of that comes together and you realize that, that's when hope just goes off the chart. That confidence that my future can be good. So that's all in that thing about Him being this wonderful counselor, revealing the love of God. Let's go to the second quality that Isaiah identifies, and that is He's mighty God. He's a mighty God. So write this in. Jesus as my mighty God, as a mighty God, is in control of how many things? All things. Now, let me just say this for the sake of our girls and our visitors. We talk a lot about this quality of God. We talk a lot about that here at this church. That God is in control of all things. And that needs a little unpacking, okay, because you can take that and you can kind of go to some places that you shouldn't go.